In Acts chapter 4 this morning, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people, and they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? This is my text right here. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Last Monday morning early, it's very unusual for me to know on Monday morning what I'm going to be preaching the next Sunday morning. Very unusual. And I've been chewing on this all week. But last Monday morning, this phrase jumped out at me. A notable miracle hath been done. I begin to examine this scripture, this chapter in the Word of God, and to think about this impotent man that at one time was sitting outside the gate of the temple begging for alms. And now he's no longer lame. He's no longer begging. But you find him in the temple, no longer outside. You find him with God's people, no longer outside the family of God. And you find him leaping. And you find him walking with them. And you find him praising the Lord. And the Word of God called it a notable miracle. I want to preach this morning, listen to me carefully, on how to have a notable Easter. How to have a notable Easter. I want to pray because I tell you, I can't do anything unless God touches me this morning. I want the touch of the Lord upon my life. I want the Lord to touch my lips, but I want the Lord to touch your ears. I want the Lord to touch our hearts. Because I believe today this scripture will do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for the privilege to stand here and to preach this morning. God, I know today, Lord, that our minds, they may be in 100 different places. Oh God, would you help us to gather up our minds this morning? Would you help us not to be thinking about the events of the afternoon or the events of the evening? God, would you just, Lord, arrest our attention for just a few minutes this morning and help us to see, Lord, truth from the Word of God that has the power to transform our very lives. I pray, Lord, this morning, I thank you, God, for each one that's come. I thank you, Lord, for all the little ones. Oh, God, this place is full of little ones this morning. Lord, I thank you for them, and I pray, oh God, that each one of the little ones would be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I pray, Father, today that you'll season this service with your presence and with your blessing. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I looked up the word notable, and it means worthy of attention. In other words, as I looked at these three things in the message today, I titled the message, How to Have a Notable Easter. How could we have an Easter service that would be worthy of attention or notice? It means remarkable. It means outstanding. It means important. It means significant. It means memorable. How many would like to leave here today and be able to remember the service? Amen. And know that it was a service that had an impact on your life or on your family. Many of you have invited family to come today, and many of you invited friends to come today. And I believe it would be a worthy goal to have a notable service for the cause of Christ in our midst today. I want to give you three things, just three simple things the Lord spoke to my heart about if we want to have a notable Easter service today. The first thing is we need to listen to a notable message, a message that's worthy of attention, a message that's remarkable, a message that's outstanding, a message that's important, a message that is well known. First of all, when we listen to the message, let's look in verse number 12 of this chapter and think about this for just a moment. Number one, it's a message of redemption. If we look at the message and listen to the message, it's a notable message because it's a message of redemption. I go back in the Old Testament to the book of Hosea, and I think about that Hosea's wife, Gomer, how that she went out and she sold herself into whoredom. And then she's on the auction block, and here comes Hosea, and he buys his wife back. It's a perfect picture, my friend, of you and I, how that we were in our sin, and we were in our shame, and we were stripped naked on the auction block. But thank God Jesus come along. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a message of redemption, and I thank God for that. Look at chapter 4 here in verse 2, the second part of verse 2. The Bible said they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. It's not just a message of redemption, but it's a message of resurrection. That's a notable message. You see, when Jesus got up, people been talking about it ever since. Hallelujah. That happened 2,000 years ago. But it's still fresh. And people are still talking about the Redeemer and the resurrection that took place 3 days after that He died. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of resurrection. But it's a message that's received. Look here in verse number 4. I'll show you this today. Everybody in the church today that's gathered here today that understands and is of age will do one of two things with the message. They will either receive the message or they will reject the message. The message that's received. First of all, look at verse 4. The Bible said, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It's not uncommon in the Bible for God to number the men. Hard to tell how many women, hard to tell how many children, amen, heard the message and believed the message. But God told us there were 5,000 men that day that heard the Word of God and believed the Word of God. All over this country today, what we call America, men of God will stand and preach the Word of God. And some, thank God, will receive the truth that they hear. It'll go further than their ears. It'll go plumb down in their heart and make a difference in their life. But some will reject. Notice here in this chapter, it's a message that's notable. A message of redemption. A message of resurrection. A message that's received. But listen, in verse number 13, the Bible said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they marveled. Again, you could put right there, they took notice. It was a notable thing, and they took knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus. I'd ask you a question this morning. Is anybody taking knowledge of your life, taking notice of your life? Can anybody say about you, I believe that man, I believe that woman, I believe that teenager has been around where Jesus is. Amen. I believe that's people that have received the message. But look at those that have rejected the message. In verse number 1, here we are, just a few days after Jesus has ascended back to the Father. He died. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He ascends back to the Father 40 days after that. Pentecost, they waited 10 more days. On that 50th day, God did a notable miracle, and He let the people pray together and preach the Word of God, and 3,000 were saved just a few days after that. Notice in verse chapter 4 and verse 1, as they spake unto the people, and the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Watch this. Look at verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people. I want to tell you this morning, this message that some of us will receive, others will reject, it grieves them in their spirit that somebody's still standing up and singing, Brother Ralph, He lives. He lives. It grieves them that a man of God is still standing behind this precious old book and telling a lost and dying world, He died. Yes, He did. He was buried. Yes, He was. But thank God, the third day He got up. Yes, He did. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I want you to know He lives. It's a message that's received, but it's a message also that's rejected. Look at verse 10 and 11 for just a moment. The Bible said, be it known unto you and all the people by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him that this man stand before you whole. Look at verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. I tell you, Peter's full of the Spirit of God. Peter's looking at them Sadducees. He's saying, hey, you took the stone and set it aside, but God took the stone and made a cornerstone out of it. It's the very stone, my friend, that we must fall upon to be saved. The Bible said here, God has made it the head of the corner. It's a message of redemption, a message of resurrection, a message that's received. It's a message that's rejected. Look at chapter 4 and verse 17 and verse number 18 for just a moment. The Bible said here, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I tell you, it's a message that's still being rejected today. But oh, I thank God for the number that have received Him and love Him and not ashamed of Him, not ashamed of His Bible, not ashamed of His church, not ashamed to be identified with the family of God. I tell you this morning, that blesses me to know who I am and who that God has made me in His family. It's a notable message. Let me give you this just a couple of things hurriedly. It's a message not only of redemption, but it's the message of the Redeemer. Look at verse number 10 for just a moment. Be it known unto you, the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "Whoa, I know the plan of salvation." Somebody else says, "Do you know the man?" I tell you what, there is something more important than the plan of salvation. That's the man of salvation. And His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. I thank the Lord this morning. It was a notable miracle. It was a notable message here. It's a message of the Redeemer. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men. I tell you, it's the message of the redeemed. Not only a message of the Redeemer, but look in verse 33. It's a message of the redeemed. The Bible said here in verse 33, this same chapter, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I tell you this, early church, they couldn't talk about anything but Him. I tell you, God, give us a church that'll lift Him up. Amen. Give us a church that will magnify the Lord together. Amen. It's a notable message. If we'll listen to a notable message, we can have a notable Easter. Let me give you this. Secondly, we need to not only listen to a notable message, but we need to live with a notable motive. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me show you some things right here that I believe will be important and bless your heart. Look in verse 19. Notice the motive of these people that are living in this early church, that are proclaiming this message of the resurrection. Number one, the Bible said in verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." First of all, I want to say in a notable motive, it was right in the sight of God. What they were doing was right in the sight of God. I'm going to say something to you this morning. It's not my intent to offend anybody. But if nobody else knew I was here this morning, I'd want to come because I want to meet with Him. I tell you, it's right in the sight of God to go to the house of God. It's right in the sight of God to read the Word of God. It's right in the sight of God to pray to the God of heaven. It's right in the sight of God to tell others about a Redeemer. And if I had no other reason to do what's right, it's right in the sight of God. That's the reason we ought to do what's right. Not only was it right in the sight of God, but it was right in the heart of God's people. Look at verse 32. The Bible said, "In the multitude of them that were believed." How many believers this morning? And you're not ashamed of it. I'm in that number. Thank God I'm a believer. I'm a saved man. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Amen. I tell you this morning, it's right in the heart of God's people. Look at verse 32. "And the multitude of them that were believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common." You say, "Preacher, I don't understand." I'll tell you this morning, with all of my heart, it had a notable motive. A motive that was worthy of noticing. It was important. It was outstanding. It was remarkable. They were not living for themselves. They were living for their Savior. They were living for their Savior. And then let me give you this, number three, right here. It was right because it glorified God. Look in verse 21 at this motive. "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which is done." I tell you, that's a good motive right there. Well, I'll tell you, why, preacher, would you like to see us have a good service? Why would you like to see somebody saved? Why would you like to see somebody get right with God? I tell you, there's not but one pure motive, and that is that it would glorify my Father and my Savior and the Word of God that I preach this morning. That's the only reason and the only pure motive this morning. How to have a notable Easter. Number one, listen to a notable message. Number two, live with a notable motive. Amen. And then number three, I'll give you this. We need to look for a notable miracle. We need to look for a notable miracle. I'm going to tell you this morning. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand what you mean here." Well, stay with me just a minute. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 16. I read it in your hearing a while ago. This is actually where the message was birthed in my heart. The Bible saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them." Let me ask you a question. Did they get that right? Was the notable miracle done by them, or was the notable miracle done by Him? We'll get you to that in just a minute. Amen. The miracle was done by Him. Guess what? I've never saved anybody, but I've been around when He did. Hallelujah. Guess what? I've never seen anybody, amen, get right with God because of me. But I've seen many people get right with God because of Him. Amen. That's a notable miracle. Let me give you some things this morning. Just let me give you this. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many believes, my friend, listen, if we have an appointment with Jesus and we're born again, that it ought to make a difference in our life? Somebody else ought to take note. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not being preached, but it's still the truth. If there's no change in an individual's life, there's no Christ in an individual's life. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will change a person's life. There'll be a miracle that others can see. Others can see. There'll be a change in our attitude. There'll be a change in our actions. there'll be a change. He said, preacher, I don't understand. Why did they call it a notable miracle? Well, he went from this. He's outside the temple with a cup saying, could you give me some money? Could you help me out here? I don't know if he had a sign. A lot of people use signs today. They hold up a little cup. They want an offering. He goes from that. He can't get up. If you'll read your Bible, they carried him and laid him at the gate of the temple. He couldn't even get there on his own. And I tell you, he's sitting there begging, and he goes from this, sitting there begging, to my friend, he's on the outside begging, but now he's on the inside walking and leaping and praising God. And everybody knew there was a difference in that man's life. Oh, friend of mine, I don't know about you, but I'd hate to think that I'd live my life and nobody be able to tell that Jesus lives in me. I'd hate to think that I'd live my life. Oh, brother Johnny, are you here? Where, there he is. Brother Johnny was with me the other day. We was working here around the church. And he'll tell you, we was coming up the road and come up New Beeson Well, turned on Carrollwood Heights. I didn't say anything to Brother Johnny. I was too busy listening to the one that was saying something to me. But I tell you, it got on me so strong. There's a man out there. He had on a vest. I've never seen this before. The yellow vest. And on the front of his vest, it said, I am a drunk driver. I got about maybe a third of the way across Carrollwood. I said, Brother Johnny, I can't stand it. I got to go back. It wasn't easy to turn that truck and trailer around, but thank God we got her turned around. And I went back. You say, preacher, why did you go back? Because I tell you, God put it on my heart. God made a difference in my life. I had something I needed to say to that man. I walked across the road and shook hands with that man. And I said, sir, and I pointed at his vest. I said, I used to be one of them. Well, glory to God. But you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? A notable miracle took place. I was born again. I got to drink of living water. I don't have to have Bud Stupid and Bud Dumber anymore. I got a drink that satisfies forever and forever and forever. You say, preacher, I wouldn't admit that. I'll tell you something right now. That man appreciated me admitting it. Say amen. When I witnessed to him, he said, sir, with tears in his eyes, he said, I am a born-again Christian. Jesus did save me. I tell you, he's out there in humiliation. This particular man was driving under the influence of drugs. He had had surgery and was driving under the influence and was all over the road. They locked him up for 48 hours and required some community service. And I'll tell you something right now. This building's sitting full of people. If you'd have got caught, you'd have been doing the same thing. I said, a notable miracle. That's what the Lord done for me. He changed my life. He changed that lame man. That man is no longer lame. He's able to walk. Well, let me give you something right here. We were worse than lame. We were dead in trespasses and sin. God, my friend, listen. He didn't just help us to walk. He helped us to live. He made us alive in Christ. We witnessed the resurrection when he saved us by the grace of God. Oh, I say it's a notable miracle. It's worthy of notice. It's remarkable. It's, my friend, outstanding. It's important. It's significant. Because, you say, preacher, why is it notable? Number one, because of the one who did it. Watch this. In chapter number 3 and verse number 11, turn there with me just a minute. I'm almost done. In chapter number 3 and verse number 11, and the lame man was healed. As the lame man was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He said, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He said in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses and his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom ye now know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter just had to stop and say, it's not us, it's him that's done this miracle. It's him. It's him. A notable miracle. A notable miracle. You know something? Some of you moms are here today, and some of you have told me with your own mouth how that God has given you that little youngin', and that it's a miracle. Let me tell you something right now. That's the truth regardless. Say amen. My first two children were born. I just thought I was supposed to stand out there and wait and see what kind of cigars to buy. Walk up and down the hall, amen. But the second two were born. I went back there with my wife. He said, preacher, why'd you go back on the second two? I saved on the second two. I wanted to be back there and see it, amen. I tell you, when them youngins come out of there and they had their hands and had their feet and I heard them squall, I tell you, I thank God I was witnessing a miracle of God. Oh, you say, preacher, that's a miracle of nature. You can believe that if you want to, but God gave me my youngins. God give them to me. God trusted me with them. And it's a miracle. But I tell you something more miraculous than a natural birth. That's a spiritual birth. That's when somebody gets to a place in their life, my friend, where they're tired of the guilt and tired of the shame. They're tired of alcohol. They're tired of drugs. They're tired of promiscuity. They're tired of everything the devil's ever done and promised them they could find peace in. And they turn loose of the devil. They turn loose of the flesh. They turn loose of the world. And they come to Jesus. I tell you, there's not a greater miracle under the sun. Not a greater miracle. A notable miracle hath been done. This man, everybody could see it. Everybody knew. And this one, it's notable because of the one who did it. It's notable because of the one who received it. The lame man. A man that was lame in his sorrow outside the gate is now leaping for joy in his Savior inside the gate. The Bible said in Acts 3:7, Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. This man was alone and poor among men. He's now in the family of God and is rich toward God. This man was little known, and now he's well known. 2,000 years later, I'm still talking about him. God put him in the Word of God. What a blessing. A notable, notable miracle. He repeated it over and over and over again. God has touched people that were lame, touched people that were blind. The songwriter in Amazing Grace said, I once was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you something right now. Either you're here this morning and you can say, I once was blind, or you're still blind. Amen. Nobody got to see until they could understand they were blind. Nobody got rich until they understood that they were poor. Nobody got saved until they understood that they were lost. Amen. I'll tell you something right now, in America, Kingsport, Tennessee, there's people this Easter Sunday, they're sitting there in their pride. They know their life has never changed. Oh, but they prayed a prayer, or they joined a church, or they got dipped in a water hole somewhere. Let me tell you something right now. unless God birthed you into His family. The Bible said you must be born again. Preacher can't do that. The church can't do that. But Jesus can do that. He can do that. And then there'll be a notable miracle in your life. You say, well, preacher, I thought if I did this, I thought if I did that. I'm going to tell you something right now. How many knows that we can think wrong? God said you must be born again. And my prayer this morning is that if you've not experienced that miracle, that you'll quit lying to yourself and quit lying to others and just come and say, Lord, would you do for me what you did for that man in Acts chapter number 3? Lord, would you help me not to come to church because I feel like it's the right thing to do. Not to come to church because it's my obligation. Not to come to church, my friend, to be seen of men. But to come to church because it's in my heart. And I love you, Lord. And I want to do what's right in the sight of God. I'll tell you this morning, there was a notable message, and it needs to be listened to. There was a notable motive, and every one of us need to live that way. But there's a notable miracle. If you believe the Bible, you can't deny it. If you don't believe the Bible, it'll still not be denied. It's forever settled in heaven. God did a miracle. Can I tell you something today? He's still in the miracle working business. You say, preacher, what happened when that prodigal went out there in the far country? I'll tell you what happened. He left his father. Say amen. He left his father's house. He did. But I tell you what he didn't leave. He didn't leave his father's heart. I believe the day that boy left, that father began to look. And I believe it was a look of love. He wasn't waiting to beat him with a stick. He was waiting to kiss him. He wasn't waiting to make a sermon out of him. He was waiting for his son to come home. What happened, Brother Frankie? The son came home. And thank God there was a notable miracle. And some didn't like it. The elder son didn't like it. Jonah didn't want to go down and preach to Nineveh. Because he knew if he did, they'd repent. And he didn't want that. He wanted them to be under the judgment of God. I'm going to say something this morning. I feel sorry for anybody that wants others to be under the judgment of God. I want them to escape the judgment of God. A notable miracle. Has there been a notable miracle? Brother Anthony, Brother Ralph was talking about giving people the flowers while they're living. Your wife might be fixing to kill you today. That's the reason I'm going to give you some flowers. Amen. I tell you, he stood up over in that revival meeting last week, and his face glowed. I tell you why his face was glowing, because it was a boiling up out of his heart. He was talking about 2 years ago. You wouldn't have found me standing up here. You wouldn't have found me singing praises. Well, what happened? A notable miracle. God birthed him into his family. And I'll tell you this morning, if you've experienced that, you know it. Can I get an amen right there? I'm going to make another statement. If you haven't experienced it, you know it too. You know it. You don't need a preacher to tell you. By the way, I couldn't tell you. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. You can fool your spouse, but you can't fool him. I tell you, you know today whether there's ever been a notable miracle took place in your life. You see, if it's somebody that maybe has lived a good moral life, you say, well, preacher, you may not see that great a change. How many knows they experienced that great a change? And I'll tell you what you will see. You'll see somebody from that miracle day forward that'll walk with God. And you'll see that somebody lives inside of them this morning. It's a notable message. We need to listen to it. It's a notable motive. Brother Joe, we need to live for him. And then it's a notable miracle how that this man was changed forever in a moment of time. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. God, I don't know who you're dealing with this morning, but God, I know you're dealing. God, it's very rare that you'll give me something a week ahead of time to chew on. Lord, this message of redemption, this message of the resurrection, only when it's received will it produce a notable miracle. God, I pray this morning that somebody that walked through those doors guilty will walk out those doors forgiven. I pray that somebody that walked through those doors cold and indifferent will walk out those doors warmed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Determined, Lord, to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Determined, Lord, like Peter was, like thousands were, to go with God and not to go with man. Father, it's my prayer this morning that if there's folks here that need to join this church, God, that you'll speak to their heart. They wouldn't do anything because preacher wants them to. But God, they do what they do because the Spirit of God directed them to. God, I pray this morning you'd keep your hand upon Bible Way. Father, I believe that you want us to touch this community with this message of hope. God, I pray today, have your way.